Lithuanian religion could it be that, you know, that you pay five times what you stole, but it may turn out that, you know, you pay that four of the ones that you pay, you know, add up to less than the one that you pay. There's the notion that you pay, you know, chamishav akar, but it turns out, well, actually, you pay four for the keren, and then you pay another four as your additional dalin, is a little bit wild, right? On the bottom, from a common sense perspective, it seems strange.
I'm going to try and find the older place.
The answer, you know, to that question, it does seem strange. In some ways, it is strange. But the answer to the question is that basically, really, what you're paying, as a matter of principle, you're paying five times something. In this particular case, you're really paying five plus three. In other words, it was worth four when you stole it. It's worth one when you have to value, you know, when it's shasam ad bedin. You pay five for the shasam ad bedin as your chamisha. Ah, but what about the other three that you pay? So the answer is, I don't want to call it a separate din of achim lekaren kein shagana, but it means that we relate to the print. In other words, there's an issue of mazik, and then there's the issue of dal v'hev ganav. From the perspective of dal v'hev ganav, you pay five times whatever it is that we designate that you stole, which is namely the thing with the value of one. But in terms of being a mazik, so I took an object from you, and then I kept it from you, and kept it in a position. That's why, and then I destroyed it, so you know, I can't get away with Hareisha Chalafanecha, or if you remember the Tosas Rid, even if I do have it, remember the Tosas Rid claim that Rav's Chiddush was that if I steal an object that's worth four, and now the value declines to one, and the object is extant, and I return it to you, what's the din? Got to pay you three more. And that was the wild claim of the Rid, and he says it, by the way, not only in the Tosas, in his Pesachim also, he paskins that way. So the idea is, but from as a matter of principle, without this special kulav, Hareishel Chalafanecha, without that special kulav, I stole an object from you that was worth four, and now it's worth one. What should I have to pay you back? I should have to pay you back four. And if the object's only worth one, I should have to supplement another three. There is this special din. If I can return the object so we can pretend it's a mirage, as if nothing ever happened. But as a matter of principle, why? Why? But I return the object, so whatever I stole, I return the answer, because I was mazik you. You know, you might say it with the fact that you had the potential to sell it, not necessarily that you would have sold it. The fact that you had the potential to sell it, and now I made a kin yigenev on it, so I have to pay you back the original four. So when it comes to dal v'hei, what I'm really paying you is five. I'm paying you the keren, which is one, now, times five. But the other three is al-smazik. In other words, Ganav and Gazlan are one of the Chaftalot Avos and Azikin, but they're sort of a separate din in their own right. So here you have a case where you pay Chamisha five times X. X is one, but you have to supplement another three because you have to be Mechai the Karen. Because what you stole, and you might say it's a din of Mazik, so that's why you pay the additional three. So that's why five times one is eight. Okay, or five times four is eight, however you want to see it. Probably five times one is eight. Okay. All right, now we're on to the discussion of Shinui. And we're going to have more to talk about, a little more to talk about Shinui when we get to the next sugya, but for the moment, we're just going to look at what our Balei Tosas, what the Tosas have to say here. Starting with V'amr Shinui Kona. Okay. Who would like to read for me? Yehuda, have you gotten this far now? It's the third Tosas on the page, the really, really, really tiny, teensy one. Or second smallest. V'amr Shinui Kona. You can read it. Oh, you skipped ahead? Well, you read this one anyway, guy. V'yamr Shinui Kona. Peirush. Third Tosas Hamachem Beis. Shinui Kona. What are those initials? Ezra? Leves Hillel. Can someone tell me what was Tosus's question? It's a very simple question. The question, as you know, was always more interesting than the answer. What was Tosus's question? I will tell you, by the way, as a general, when you prepare for Shir, and I asked you to do a bunch of Tosus, and when I asked you to do one Tosus, but know that I'm going to ask you the question, generally speaking, what was the question of Tosas? Chaim?
We know from Omer that we have this established fact that a real Shinoi is Toda. So the question is asking, well, how could he, why would he even start asking whether or not Ashinui is Kona here? We know that that's not allowed, that we know that that's...
More or less, that's Matosas' question. Not exactly more or less. In other words, Matosas says, you read the Gemara, you have Rav Ilez Ben, he says, Nasa Shinim Yadu Kno. Comes along with Chanina and quotes a brisa that suggests that you're not Kona in this case. And he says, V'am Rishinu Kona, why you chayav dal v'he? So the fact is that we have others, in other words, the notion, we know that there are other Mekoros, starting with the Mishnah in the beginning of the ninth parak of Avakama, that suggests the notion that Shinu is Kona. So what kind of a kasha is Chanina asking against Rav Ilez? From a brisa that suggests that Shinu and Kona. So what? So you found the brisa to Shinu and Kona. There are 963 other brises that say that Shinu is Kona. And it's a Davar Pasha, we hold that Shinu is Kona. It's Beis Hillel, we hold that way. Okay, but I'm just tweaking a little bit. Now that you have enough sources. You have enough sources that make it clear that Shinu is Kona. So what kind of a kasha would it be? What kind of a kasha would it be? Certainly it's not a question to throw. Okay, so this brisa happens to disagree. So that wasn't, so the Tosfos claims that wasn't the question when it says V'amrit Shinu Kona. It's not that V'amrit Shinu Kona, and if you want to say that Shinu Imais is Kona, no. Everybody, not almost everybody might hold. And by the way, even Beis Shammai might hold that way. Parentheses. I'm probably going to make you learn the Gemara when we get to the when we finish after the Bechina. The Gemara first daf of Hagozel contains the first really second Amud contains a Shita of Abaye. Okay, what is a Shita? Again, some of you have heard this. What is a Shita? Obviously, you're not going to tell me an opinion because you know I'm not asking that question. You know, what is a Shita? Ben.
A list of a lot of opinions. Presumably not accepted halacha.
That's going a step further. A shita,
right,
which most often is cited in the name of Abaye, and Abaye and Rabbi Yochanan are the ones who have these affinities for collecting. They collect seemingly unrelated topics or opinions that all boil down to the same issue. So Abaye said that Ploni u Ploni u Ploni u Ploni kulu savri luhu shinu lakani, and he goes on to quote, and one is in Peya. And one is in Chala, and one is in is in Sukkah. I don't remember. You see, it's not Tzadi Ham and Aleph. Tzadi Dalet and Aleph. Tzadi Dalet and Aleph. Beis Shammai. That's by Esnan Zona, and one other Shita. So Abaye says that so Ploni 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 Kulu Sfir Lahu Shinu Lekani. Now. What the Gaonim say is that as a general rule, you don't follow a Shita. It means these are rejected opinions. It's not always true, and it should also be noted, and the Rishonim point this out frequently, that even when Abaye says Kula Sfir Lahu, frequently they don't agree with each other. Those of you who might have learned Sukkah know that there's a Shita, I think, on Tav Zayin, where it might be Abaye who collects a whole bunch of opinions that hold that Diras, Sukkah, Diras Keva Be'inan. And among that list are Rebbe Shita, that a sukkah must be at least Dalet Amos or Dalet Amos, and Beis Shammai Shita, that a sukkah must hold at least Rosh Arubo V'Shulchano, as opposed to Beis Hillel says it's enough to hold Rosh Arubo. So you realize just two of the Shitas there, in theory, explicitly argue on one another. I mean, they're not juxtaposed on the same brisa, but Rebbe says you need Dalet al Dalet Amos, Beis Shammai says you need Rosh V'Shulchano, which is like 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim. So even within the Shita itself, there are two opinions that are explicitly arguing with one another. So it doesn't mean that they all agree on their various dinim. It all means that, conceptually speaking, they all share a certain kind of common thread, even if there might be sometimes a difference in details. There's a long milchamos there, and Sukkah talks about that in terms of the view of the Gaon and whether you automatically reject the opinions in a Shita versus you might not automatically reject it. So he distinguishes, if I'm not mistaken, between a Shita where everybody mamish holds the same way versus where there's no machlokas, where situations where it's clear there are differences of opinion there, you might follow one or another of those opinions. So anyway, there is a shita at the beginning of the ninth parak, and Abaye cites Beis Shammai is one of the cases of Shinu Kona. Well, P.S. Rava there goes through each of the five and says none of them are muchrach. None of them are muchrach, and by the Esnan Zona, which is our case, The Esnan Zona, which is our case, he claims that Beis Shammai might agree that she is Kona, but nonetheless it's a Moris Lagavoa. Technically speaking, so she's changed the Chitim into Solas, but it's still Ma'os. It's still Ma'os, you know, so it's not technically the same object for the purposes of Kenyan that the man gave the Zona, but nonetheless, it's still Pasnished, right? Some people don't understand that if you engage in dishonest business practices, that you don't turn around and give the money to yeshivas. Unfortunately, some people think it's a kapar, and some Rashi yeshiva think it's a mitzvah to take that. But that's not actually what Judaism believes. It's a big chil Hashem. The only bracha for us is that the biggest chil Hashem that ever was in this wasn't even an Orthodox institution. It was a conservative institution. Some of you might be before your time. Some of you remember the name Ivan Bosky. He gave a large amount of money. It wasn't their fault. I mean, if everybody knew. And then he was convicted on insider trading or something. This goes back to the early 80s. This is before probably any of you were born. Okay, so every year I get older and have to date things. So anyway, even Beis Shammai doesn't hold that Shina is not Kona. Maybe nobody holds that Shina is not Kona. So Tosa says all the Gemara means here is not Iyam Shina Kona, to suggest that maybe Shina is not Kona, but it means in this particular case Shina is not Kona because maybe this isn't called the Shinui. That was what was bothering Tosafot, that's what he answered. I don't think that contradicts what Rabbeinu Peretz says. You have to sort of flesh it out. But good. Continue. Ayo ben Yomo Kara Ayo. Yehuda. Can you take another one? I know you didn't do this, but still. Mihu. Vadai.
Ayo ben
Tosus is bothered by sort of an obvious question, and so he just sort of says, yeah. What was his question? Shlomo?
There is a distinction between Ayo when it comes to...
Yeah, we know that Ayo ben Yomo is not Kari and Ayo, right? It's very nice that you get up and give a drush and then Ayo ben Yomo is Kari and Ayo, and you explain, and Yaakov says, Eilei Tzom Chalo Achalti, that obviously he meant any Eilim, not just the big ones. You know, in fact, the truth is, if you're going to steal something as a shepherd, the trick is to steal the little ones, because maybe the owner didn't notice that the sheep was pregnant. And I don't know what a sheep would look like pregnant. I mean, I presume what's that? I guess that line could come back to haunt you, Chaim, but you don't even understand why. I think Shlomo and Shalom are looking at each other. Maybe they have an idea. No, they don't. Okay. Okay, when your wife is pregnant, just don't tell her she looks big, okay?
I got that.
Okay, so apparently even sometimes the Bachman figured out before the Nesuim. But anyway, so I don't know how Nikar it is a sheep. What's that?
You couldn't even conceive anybody.
Okay, so you couldn't even, I don't know if the Balabas would actually, you know, how obvious it is. I assume that you can tell, but I don't know if it would be obvious to us, how clear it is. So maybe he didn't notice the sheep was pregnant. So optimally, the thing you eat is the little one, you know, before he doesn't notice it. You know, when you take and eat the big ram, and he notices the big ram is missing. So, but putting that aside, we know that there's a difference between Keves and Ayo. We know because there are psukim that speak about Keves ben Shnaso, and then talk versus Ayel, and Ayel is Ben Shtei Shanim. The Mishnah in Parah talks about the difference between Keves and Ayel is a very interesting creature called a Palgas. You know what a Palgas is? I think I mentioned it once when we first went through this. What's a Palgas? That probably is its etymology. They say that a Keves is until the end of the first year. The 13th month of life, it's an in-between category called a Palgas, which can't be brought anytime you must bring an ayo, but it can be brought as a nedava. And if you remember Rashi from Parsha Shlach last year, okay, this I wouldn't expect that you remember that far back, Rashi even there quotes the drush of Chazal, what happens if you bring a palgas as a karban? So you can volunteer one. And what nesachim do you bring? Well, if it's keves, you bring one iseron. If it's an ayo, you bring two esronim. So which one do you bring? So o la ayo tasem mincha, o le rabos es apalgas. So when you go back and you look at that Rashi and Shlach, the next time you learn it, you know what apalgas is. I mean, in this in-between category, in this sort of twilight, or dawn, whichever way you want to look at it, what level of nesachim do you bring? And the answer is you bring that of an ayo. Okay, but fundamentally speaking, this apalgas aside, there's a difference between a keves and an ayo. So Tosa says it just means, doesn't mean le'inyan karban. Of course, ask yourself the question, if so, because you found one pasuk that says that an ayel is still called an ayel, that means it's not a Shina Hashem.
That's why we call it Kasha.
No. We the Gemara. So it's not a Shino Shem. The question is, why not? The Gemara says, because Ayo Ben Yomakara Ayo.
And that's only by Karbana. And in the day-to-day business transaction.
So you're going to argue that Shino Hashem is Tanoi upon Lashon Bnei Adam and not Lashon Mikra. Now, it's a debate. Not a debate. And it's generally accepted. The Bavli says that Lashon Nedarim goes Basar Lashon Bnei Adam. But there is a Yushami that has a Shita. I don't know if it exists in the Bavli. That you go Basar Lashon Mikra. I mean, there are Mishnayos that sound like some of the time. You also follow, Lashon Mikra. It's hard to tell. Okay, fine. Then, next Tosfos. Who has seen this Tosfos who would like to volunteer? Nadav, have you seen this Tosfos? No? What's that? Flyim. Okay. Flyim are very popular today. Yeah?
I'll read it.
Did anybody do?
I don't know.
Ben, you guys did it, didn't you?
I got stuck in the word.
It's up to the two of you. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, chayim, you're it. Okay, Ben, you go next. Hey, how many beishamai he got?
The Amis, probably.
What does it mean? It's because it's Mos. It should have been something like Isma'is, but I bet you there's a printer's error here or something like that. Unless it's the Im'is, the Yud. When you see a Yud, like Itvar, well, that's a bad example because there's also Taf for the root. But when you see it with like Im'as, Aleph Yud, that Yud is often in place of a Taf. And the Taf marks the passive, Isma'is, right? Ispil. So anyway, so Tosus is pointing out Derech Agada that this sugya here at this point is not following Rava Shita later, who rejects Beis Shammai as saying that Shinui Eino Kona. And as Rava says, now, granted, the truth is Rava's Doha. Rava's not. When we say Dilma Ad Kan Lo Ka Asri Beis Shammai Ela Lagavoa De Imis, Bava Lahedyot Beis Shammai would say Shinui Kona. Does that mean that Rava holds that Beis Shammai holds Shinui's Kona? No, all it means is that Rava holds that there's no compelling indication, no compelling proof that Beis Shammai holds that Shinui Eino Kona. But it's possible that Beis Shammai does hold Shinui Eino Kona. But Tosfos here takes that sort of as Rava's maskana, that none of those shitas. Rava says that nobody says Shinui Eino Kona, and this sugya that sort of accepts Abayi's reading of Beis Shammai is obviously not in accordance with Rava's maskana there. Okay, now, that also means that this teretz would not work according to Rava. Because Rava doesn't seem to allow anybody to hold Shinui Kona, but we're trying to say that this Braisa holds that way. Okay, at least at this point. So now, Bein Tomar. And this is a very important question. Let's just talk a moment about Esnan. What is Esnan Zona? Sammy? What is a Zona? What is it? Rachav HaZona, okay. Fine. Zona means something colloquially, a prostitute, but Zona and Halacha, certainly when it comes to a Kohen, does not, what is a Zona comes to a Kohen? What's that? Loi mitan Aleph. And there's a Shita that says Panei Ba'al Pnuya Sa Zona, but we don't hold that way. It's from Lazar Ben Shemo. What? That's what he just said. What's that? Yes, it's only for a Kohen Gadol. Hu yishab bivsulaha yikach.
You're saying for a Kohen Hedyo.
Kohen Hedyo. Well, a Kohen Gadol also gets this difference in Bisula is an Isser and Isser Asay, whereas a Zona is an Isser Lav. So Bisula wouldn't carry, Bisula Kohen Gadol wouldn't carry punishment to Malchus. So, any Kohanim in besides Ben? I was doing my Kohen check now. Okay. So, Zona, the way we accept the halacha, is one of three personalities. A Giyores, a Mishachoreres, and Misha Nivala Bi'ilaznus. Bi'ilaznus does not mean the way a Mashkiach might get up in yeshiva and scream at Znus, but rather, Znus is a halacha category. It means two people who could not marry each other and have Bia. Meaning, if a Panui and a Pnuya, two single people who could in theory marry each other but Kiddushin, and it would be a perfectly appropriate, halachically permitted marriage, so Panei Baal Pnuya does not make her a Zona. It's a machlokas. Are we showing him what the status of that is? Depends upon the they said the rice, the rabbanu, whatever. But it's not, that doesn't make a woman a zona. A zona would be a woman, let's say a bas Yisrael or a bas Kohen or a bas Levi, who was nivala to a mamzer, who was nivala to a nasin, who was nivala to perhaps. There's three machlokas at tanaim. I don't want to labor the pratim, so I'll take one sheet. The nivala tanamoni to a moavi, nivala to an erva, obviously, even a kavahomer, someone is an Isser Kari Samal, or Mises based in. So that woman is considered halachically a zona. Okay, and it's a Surah Lekohen. It's a very much a major shaila for Kohanim. It's not a minor issue in terms of, you know, marrying a Balas Tshuva, depending on when she became a Balas Tshuva, but someone who became a Balas Tshuva, you know, post college age. Becomes a very serious question. I mean, some of you can be Mvara, but if a woman, you know, she went to a college somewhere, and presumably she didn't go to Yeshiva University, and she had a relationship with a non-Jewish man, she can't marry a Kohen. It's not a minor, you know, 100 years ago, it would have been a miuta de miuta. Today, you know, from when one gathers reading the literature, it may not be a miuta anymore. Might even be close to a rove, you know. So it's a tzara being Cohen in some ways. Chaim?
The issue of the Gioris, the Gioris, is that because...
it's halachic. It's not... Even if there's a four-way machlokas at Tanayim as to what kind of a Gioris a Cohen can't marry, but we paskin that a Cohen's allowed to marry the daughter, l'chatchila can marry the daughter of a Ger, or of a Gioris, but l'chatchila cannot marry the daughter of a Ger plus Gioris, even though she's born Jewish. But the Avad, if he got married, we don't force him to divorce. What's that? We mentioned that later. It's in Kiddushin. And then there is a Shita that says that if she's born Jewish, then that's okay. And then there's a third Shita that says that even if she wasn't born Jewish, if she were converted before the age of 3 and a day, where it's impossible for her to have had B'esnos, or B'shimon Shita, so then a Kohen can also marry, but we don't paskin that way. That Shita is the Chuya. But anyway, so that's what a zona is in the purpose of Kuna. David, you had a question?
Along those lines, at any point,
if you're
a zona?
I'm sorry?
At any point.
The way we paskin, doesn't, as long as she's born not Jewish, she has halachic status as own. It's not a, it's not a Metzias category. What's that? For a Kohen.
You can marry his own. I understand.
Sorry. I should erase that tape. That wasn't my voice. No, the point is that, in other words, the terminology, I understand you may find disturbing, but the point is that it's a Kohen can't marry, it's a chumras of Kohanim. For 90% of the population, it makes no difference. And we don't say Yisrael is mutter bezona. She's only a zona with respect to a Kohen. There's only a zone with respect to a Kohen. We don't, there's no, you know, the children of a Gioris don't have any, you know, our regular Yisrael Mksherim. So, I don't think, if you're disturbed by anything, it wouldn't be that she has a status of zones that she can't marry a Kohen.
But the
shame is that that's just a category into which she falls. What's a Yitzi and then Ezra?
Okay, so that means that, for instance, so we don't have to be most for the purposes of the Kuna, it's not the same thing as what we talk about when they say, and I'm supposed to have to do
that. Correct. That means a Bia outside the context of marriage.
Yeah, and also folks are paying that this we ended a day, what is the idea behind that we have a chazakah?
It's hard to know. It sounds as if there's a chazakah, which is a strange chazakah, that once she's in 3 years and a day, so then she could have had Bia, and the chazakah that all going had Bia. And
that it would be
I'll tell you what it is.
Betulian.
Well, yes, but the problem is, what is... Yeah, the Gemara says it's based upon a drush on Kiyam Besulos Mizera Beis Yisrael. The question is, Rabbi Shimon says, in Shenizru'u Besulah B'Yisrael, that her Besulim were Nizru'u, and Nizru'u in that case, I think, means the last time they could have possibly grown. Again, there is this strange assumption, which probably has no connection whatsoever to Mitzvahs of Chazal, that if a girl below the age of 3 and a day has the hymen broken, it will grow back after the age of 3 and a day. It won't grow back, and that famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, if Beis Din is Ma'aber the Shana, it makes a difference. That's a famous Yerushalmi. It's often cited as, you know, for the Koach HaChacham. I think it's Yerushalmi, better not cited. It's better to pretend that Yerushalmi doesn't exist. Okay. Ezra. Of a mamzer? I don't want to go off. A mamzer is the way we paskin is a child born from where the union, where the avera involved is, would have kares, if I'm amazing. Nida's the exception, because it's related to the fact that kiddushin aren't tofsin. Kiddushin don't bond. The Gemara has a specific exemption for Nida. Abayi says, Usahi Nida's hakomodim be, what's not beben hanida? It's not beben, that's not the term. Hakomodim benida, shena mamzer. Because it says Usahini Dasa Allah Afila Bashasni Dasa Teheba Havaye. It's on, I think, Samach Zayin and Kiddushin. It's in Yavama Staf Memtes. And the principle being that, in other words, when a husband, I joke about this, you know, normally by all the cases of Mamzeres, there's no Tfisas Kiddushin. So you say, I have another solution to the Aguna problem. We had a brilliant one recently, right? Some of this, I have a new solution to the Aguna problem. The solution to the Aguna problem, what's that? What was this? Chayish v'tuah that was racist, right?
Yeah.
It's a new chapter.
You better lose that.
So you'll say every time in Isha is Pirsanida, so because it's in Sukkaris, there's no Tfisas Kiddush anymore, and she could go off. Obviously, it's ridiculous. She's still married to him. But that's why there's no Mamzeres. But otherwise, so there's no halachically for normal sources, I mean, normal meaning Bavli, Ushalmi, and the like, there's no such thing as Ben Anida. This was a later thing. It was one of the Mesechtas Katanas or something like that. Correct. There is, you know, Alderach HaMusar, there's an unbelievable tshuva of Moshe about that, which shows you both the godless of Moshe and the stupidity of many members of Kal Yisrael, which was, he was asked about the concern, I don't know which the Mesechus Kal is thinking about Ben Anida, and someone asked Ramosha about Maryam Balas Tshuva, you know, and Ramosha said, basically, you look at her midos, and if she's a nice person, so you assume probably her mother went swimming in the ocean before she was conceived, and the bathing suit was probably loose enough, so probably she's really not a Ben Hanida. And the real answer is, Shaita, you know, you have to know what is halacha and what is, you know, marginal. And if you find the right person for you to marry, you should marry her. She's nice and frum and it's wonderful midos and so on. And don't worry about the fact that she's a balas tshuva. But Ramosha, you know, that would not have assuaged the fears of the idiots. So Ramosha had to write something else. That's where Ramosha was a godlove, because he also knew how to deal with people. It reminds me of a story here of a certain professor who's no longer here, who once commented how, to a colleague of mine, how he never want his daughter to marry balas tshuva, you know, because, he's a Ben Anida, something like that. And this person said to him, mentioned this, an individual who might have been a Talmud at the time, who was a very distinguished Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. Not that you think it's Relichnis, it's not Relichnis, thing, someone a lot younger. A very distinguished, very fine Talmud Chacham, very fine Talmud of the Rav, and said, you mean you won't want your daughter to marry him? Because he was a Baal Tshuva, he wasn't from a firm family. So people of all sorts of Mishigas. But anyway, so. Ben Anida is nothing. Ben Anida is nothing. Yeah, come on. You will go read the tshuva and you will see. And you will agree with me. Okay? Fine. So anyway, so that is Zona Lagabe Kohen. What is Zona Lagabe Esnan Zona? So the assumption, what's that?
Prostitute.
So the answer is no. Esnan Zona is, believe it or not, even though you would have had a hard time believing that, does not apply, I believe, unless there is no Tfisas Kiddushin. There's a bizarre case, I think the Gemara has it, everyone's quoted, where the person was Tovea, the mother was Tovea, this Esnan Zona, sick as it is, Oedipus here, where, what if you're Tovea Bedin? Well, if the Zona is Tovea Bedin, there was something about that. Is a Gemara somewhere, what's that? To demand, to bring him to court, right? If the guy doesn't, if the John doesn't pay up, so she takes him to court and says, you know, where's my Esnan? So the Gemara says, I think, that a zona is only when you have only when you have lack of tefisas kiddushin, which would probably also be a case of karis. That's it. Okay. Yeah, and a great pun there too of Lo Salim, but yes. We're doing that in Targum today. It's a very interesting pasuk, but I'm not going to talk about why now, having nothing to do with Eslan Zona. Okay, just the grammar. So anyway, what's that, David? You can come. Come in as a visitor for a day. Anyway, so that is the din of Eslan Zona. Now, what is the din of Eslan Zona? The guy, by the way, what is Mechir Kelev? Yeah, how do you know? Someone told me, I haven't checked, but David Tzvi Hoffman, I think, claims that Kelev means shot there. That's not how Chazal understands. Chazal understands Hechlev Sebe Kelev, literally, because it's a dangerous animal. So if you swap, you do commerce with that which you machle for it. I have to tell you, it's very hard to believe that that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. I just, yeah?
I think I remember learning in biblical archaeology that one of the rituals used to be burying dogs in the ground.
Yeah.
Like they found many, lots of dogs just like buried, I think in like Beer Sheva or something like that.
And but what's the Mechir Kelev? You mean you?
The price of.
Oh, it was an idolatrous ritual.
Yeah, it was an idolatrous ritual.
Okay, You have to look and see what the Anchor Bible, commentary might say, and that's the place to look to see what they might say about Mechir Kelev. You shouldn't read other parts of it, but that part you can probably read. Okay. So anyway, I didn't say you can't. I said you shouldn't.
We're reading it for.
Okay, so when you're a graduate student, maybe different when you're an undergraduate student. Even there, you have to, a person has to know their own tolerances and limits. That's all. So Mechir Kelev probably, if you shoot the Shomikra, is something like Esnan Zona. If some, it's not that you simply sold a dog and bought a sheep, unless it's if you bought it for these purposes. It's hard to imagine it's a din of Nezek. But okay, it's a great Musar in that. There is great Musar if you assume it's just a din of you sold an animal which was a Mazik, so you're Marib and Nezek in the world, God doesn't want it. That is a very nice Musar. I'm just not sure that that's Pshut HaShomikra in this case. Okay, so anyways, you have Esnan Zona, and now the Zona wants to bring it as a carbon. She wants to use it as a carbon. So if he gave her chitim, and she wants to use it for carbon mincha, he gave her a seh, she wants to bring it as a carbon. So the din is that if he gave her, it's a machlokas, beisham and beisilo, whether or not you're allowed to use, whether if you take the chitim and you grind them out, chonan vasa and solas, whether you're allowed to bring that for carbon purposes. So let me ask you a question. What does this have to do with shinui kona? What does that have to do with shinui kone? I know why it's a shinui. What is it? Who owns it? Is there a suffix about who owns it? No. It's the zonas before she grinds it up. It's the zonas after she grinds it up. Who cares whether shinui is kone or not? It's such an obvious... You read the Gemara the first time through. You read it. I did this too. When you just read, yeah, sure, shinui... learned this once before, and so I just know this lacha shinui kone, but you don't stop and think... What does it have to do with the price of tea in China? We're not talking about Kenyan here. Now, this is important. It's important, Shlomo, because... Oh, I'm sorry that you were going to raise your hand to say something. It's a good question, Tosas asked. Tosas asked the question, a bunch of other Rishonim asked the question, but it's a very good question. It's very nice that it's a shinui, but what does it do with Kenyan? It belongs to her. It belongs to her before she's mocked the shit, 100% outright. That's not what the Rishonim, I think,
right.
Say.
I think it's similar to the idea of Toragan Minas.
Of what?
Toragan Minas. In terms of, I stole this, I got this
for
my wage.
So you're scratching your ear like this. I don't disagree with you, but say it simpler, Shlomo.
You could also say that it's just one step further. If it's enough of a shinoi to allow you to bring it for a korban, then it should be enough of a shinoi. In another case,
Kone. You're sort of, I think, putting the cart before the horse. Why is Shinui Kone? Yeah.
Shinui changes
itself. Yeah, it's not the same object, right? It's not the same object anymore. In other words, the whatever that I stole, the wood that I stole is no longer wood. It's now a chair, or I should say, it's now sawdust. Right, so in other words, the object you stole is no longer there. So, in other words, if the chitim disappear, so then there's nothing to be Eslan anymore. So your flower now, this is not Eslan Zona, this is something else. So what is Tosus? Read Tosus. Whoever Chaim, you read Yvesh Lomar.
Yvesh Lomar, the Ksavar, the Ishin Lekoda, Imke and Roi Hulat,
Now that's the important line to throw in there. That's really Rava Shita. So the assumption is that if behind the reason why Shina Kona matters here is because Shina Kona means the original object is no longer there and there's a different object here. If you remember a little Chazara, there seems to be, I don't know how far Rashi's going to go with it, but I know of two Rashis that work in that direction. Rashi seems that we assume that Shina Kona means the object is no longer here. It's a different object, therefore there's no obligation of Kain Shagazal. It belongs to the Ganav. He's just got to pay money back. Now, what implication did that have for Shinui having to be done biyadayim as opposed to even Memela? If you say the way I just said, that it's Ki'ilu Eino, does it make a difference whether or not you did it biyadayim or it happened on its own? Yitzi?
No.
And that's, and if Tosis didn't link the reason, but Tosis and Samachem Nav said exactly that. If you remember the first of the two approaches in Mali Katla Kula, Mali Katla Palga assumed that if it's Midin, Shinui is Kona, and that's why you pay Kain Shaganav, it doesn't matter whether Pitma or Nispatma, it doesn't matter whether Hechisha or Hochisha, the din is the same. Rashi, he doesn't disagree, I mean, well, we don't know what Rashi holds in that. Rashi and Shinuim Koma Omeid on this daf writes, Afagav di Ishtani lo Nafik Mishras Bailim, even though what Shinui occurred, it still wasn't Yotzei Mishras Bailim. Now, if the issue of Shinui is not that it's a new object and the original object isn't here, but it's a function of something was done to be Motzei, the Shinui was Motzei Mishras Bailim, so then you could see that there's a difference between whether it's Dambi Adayim versus it happened in Mela, because when it's Dambi Adayim, there may be an intent that's necessary. It's almost like an intent is necessary for Kinyan, intent may be necessary for Hafka, to be Motzei Mirshus Bailim. And incidentally, Rashi and Samuel Favon Alf, you may not have seen this yet, we didn't really do this in Iyun, Rashi on Shinui Kona, the next, very next sugya says, Heicha deshani luhu biyadayim, pshita lemi the rice of Adai Kona. He doesn't talk about Shinui, but he defines Shinui as something done biyadayim. Now that would fit actually very nicely with what Rashi says on Samachemet Beis. Now, Tosis's whole premise here on Samachemet Beis is that Shinui, the basis of Shinui, is that it's ki'ilo eino. Now, there are many Gemaras that there's a sugya later that you're going to see when we do Shinui Kona on Tzadi Dalam Rebeis or Tzadi Hamad Beis, and maybe the end of that first sugya with a Gemara, and we spoke about this, the issue about Panim Chadash Espolakan, right? If you take a silver and you make it into a coin, it's not a Shinui because you grind it up and you have the silver back. It's the same silver. But if you take a coin and you grind it up into silver dust, even though you could re-stamp a coin, we say Panim Chadash Espolakan because it's not the same coin anymore. Right? It's a different coin. And we have to think about that a little bit, but I think it's intuitive. But that, again, it works with the assumption of whether or not the original guy is here. The natural state was that of the silver dust, and the silver dust can be restored. The natural state is not that of a coin. So once you destroy the coin, a different coin is Panim Chadash. It's a new object. It's not the original coin. That seems to be based upon the assumption of that what you stole is no longer here. It's no longer here. It's not. It doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter whether or not you grant that the coin be a dime or it just happened to be. So anyway, so there is certainly support. I think what Tosa says is the much more mistaber, but you can't completely ignore Rashi. You can't completely ignore that. So you should be aware of it. So anyway, so Tosa says that's why Esnan is linked to Shinui, because the assumption is the reason why the Zona can bring it, according to Beis Shammai, is because the Shinui, it's not that the Shinui is Kona here, the Zona owns it, she owns it either way, but the Shinui means it's no longer the Esnan that was given, it's a different object, and that's why she can bring it as a Karban. Why does Beis Shammai disagree? Either because they hold that distinction within Shinui is meaningless, or because they hold it doesn't matter, even it's nothing to do with Shinui. The fact is that it's still Mos, because you still make the association between the two. Like Avoa is different than Lehedya. Okay. Then, any questions about that? Tosis, by the way, throws in that last line there. Umimas Nami Lomois, is in order for Beis Hillel to adopt their Shita, that the Zona can bring the Chitim as a Karban, it's not enough to say just that Shinui is Kona, that it's Mamish, not the original object, because even if it's not the original object, you still have Rava's notion that even when Shinui is Kona, and even when it's not the original object, but it's still associated with the original object, and that's Moos Lagavoa. And therefore, Tosa says that they also, not only do they hold that Shinui is Kona, so it's not the original object, but they also hold that it's Mimas Nami Lomois. Chaim?
The idea of Mimas, that's referring to rejection of the rejection of an Esnan from
Yeah, mimas is Rava's term. Rava said that perhaps it's not. Rava disagreed with Abaye, and he said perhaps it's not that Beis Shammai hold that Shinui is not Konan, or they hold Shinui is Konan normally, but still it's Moos Lagavoa. Since it's so that it started out with the same raw materials as that which was the Esnan, it is the same thing, so it's still Moos Lagavoa.
In your Karbanos, though, a Tala is different from an Ayel. So a Zona has a Tala, and it becomes an Ayel. Would that be enough of a Shinui for her to bring as a Karban?
If you give a Zona a Tla, I want to say somebody talks about this question. Can you give her a Tla and it becomes an Ayel? So the answer is we would paskin probably yes. In other words, we paskin Tlevenas Ayel's a Shinui.
Right, but even according to the opinion that says that.
You want to say that maybe even he would hold that, even you say that even though he holds that the Shinui is Konan, you patron dal vehe, still it contains the traces. You know, the truth is, wait. This is a broader question. What happens if you. This is a very interesting question. What happens if you have a Teleh? I give a whole set of questions because it's going to come up here. And someone's Roveah the Teleh. I'm sorry, that's not a Roveah. Well, that's called a Nirba. Okay? Yeah. Or if this Teleh was Roveah somebody, so that's called that's Roveah. You know, or what if someone was Mishtachavet to the Teleh? It's a Nevad. Or someone was Maxet the Teleh for whatever, and now it grows up into an Ayel. So what's the din there? I think that the din is it's possible the carbon.
Libi Omer,
you're right. But there's a difference. There is a difference. I'll tell you what the difference between the two is. See, one might tie it. Every example I've given is something really beguf hadavar.
Right.
Certainly, even Nevad and Muksa are. Where, in other words, it's the object that was the object of worship or set aside for worship, as opposed to it was just a payment. I think you certainly Roveh and Nirva, you can argue is beguf hadavar mamish, and that is one step worse. I don't know that this question must be discussed. I don't remember anybody saying here, but that's a very good observation. This might be. And is it didn't mean din mos, or is it could mean din mos? In other words, it could be it's a shina that's kona, but it's a weak enough.
Then, right, and the question is, why is it mos? Is it mos because she's now, because of her avir, she's unable to do a mitzvah, and we're worried about that? And then the shina shouldn't make a difference, because it's still because she got these chitim.
No, but obviously the Beis Hillel assumes that the Shinu does matter. In other words, it's no longer the original object. The Shita that says that even if it's not no longer the original object, it's still Mos, might be from the perspective of Bnei Adam, that we look at it and we say, you know, Shelo Yomru, right? And Mizbeach Ochel Nevelos, right? So Mizbeach is Ochel Estan. Ah, technically it's not Estan. Yeah, but that, so that may be incorporated into their view. So then the question is that Svara, even if it's not strong enough by Chitim, Masan, Solos, which might be a Shinu Gamar, is it strong enough by Tlev and Asahayel? Right? As Tlev and Asahayel, as we said, is a weaker Shinu in the sense that it's built in. So apparently, Rav Illa holds that it, even though it's foreseeable, it's an internal Shinu that's automatically going to happen, still it's called Shinu Kona. But maybe for these purposes, it's still, because it's built in, for the purposes of Ma'us, right, it's possible. I have to, if I have, remember, I'll try to look, because this issue is must. I mean, it's going to come up a little bit, but not Tlev and Asahayel on the next and two Tosafim. Okay.
The other thing is that the Tlev and Asahayel comes up in the context of a Karban also. Like the place where there is a Shinui. I'm saying no, it's the pasuk. The pasuk that we show that the Shinui Hashem
is not a Shinui.
Is not a Shinui. Comes up with the case of a korban.
Sharol chesed oes.
She wants to bring it.
So you want to argue for the purposes of korbanos, sharol chesed oes. It's not a shinui.
And therefore, if she gets in as nanzana, and she wants to bring it as a korban, even if it grows up, it's aisle me from Ben Yomo is nikra aisle.
You have to say shor ben yomo. There's no aisle in that pasuk. But yeah, it could be. That's not a bad thought. In other words, the question is, what's the svar behind it? I haven't learned Tamur in a long time. But the sugyas are there because they talk about the whole issue of Zevizagorim. That sugya is the one, that's an incidental point, but it's the major focus of the sugya of when you have one parent, that is one parent. That's not whatever in these dinim. You know, if the mother is near, you're going to see the mother is near Bas, therefore, what's the status of the Vlad she's carrying? Did anybody do the Tosos on top of San Vavanath, the top Tosos? Or everybody? I know you guys did it. Okay, we'll see that. Hopefully, we have a few minutes, or we'll be finishing it tomorrow, depending on how long it takes us to get to the bottom Tosos. But that's the. I have to scan the Sugis there to see. Maybe it's Beferish, you know, one way or the other.
Esan Zona is always a case of a prostitute trying to bring her
Yeah, it's a carbon. Yes. Yeah, some things, human nature doesn't change. The notion that you can, like Yirmiyahu says, you know, to them, you know, Haganov Ratzach Vena'of, you know, you murder, you steal, you commit adultery, and then you come and run into my bais and you say, Nitzalnu, we're safe. As if the Beis HaMikdash is this magical base for it, you know, and it doesn't matter what you do when you're off base. You know, why is it Yirmiyahu Yecheskel says, you know, he asked them, do you think that my house is in Me'aras Paritzim? Right, a cave of priests and
or robbers hideaway.
Maybe that's the translation of that. Maras paritzim. It's an unbelievable expression. But that's a every few thousand years we have a breakaway movement from Orthodox, you know, from Halachic Judaism because of this issue. First it was Christianity, then it was, you know, I'm oversimplifying, then it's Reform Judaism, you know, the critique of organized religion is that it focuses on Bein Adam La Malkom and neglects Bein Adam La Chaver and ethics and so on. And there's a lot, I mean, that is not a reason to abandon organized religion, but it's a serious critique. And before Christianity, the Nevi'im screamed about it. So, you know, every several centuries. What's that? Okay, but so you ask the question. I'm not saying it's a problem, but the point is, when it happens repeatedly, so you start to wonder. Now, the truth is, I believe that people who abandon formalized religion don't do any better. They probably do worse. You know, when there's less of a sense of binding, of being, you know, a person whose ethics are driven because Kasher Tzivan Hashem Elokai. I think in some ways, but who has an ethical sense, it's a more powerfully binding agent than someone who's just ethical because he believes in being ethical. What's that? Okay, anyways, I don't want to get into philosophy argument, but bottom line, it's, yes, the Zona is the one who now wants to bring her Esnan as a carbon. Okay, now, the last tosis on the page. What is the makar? Now, this is very important. There's a drasha that tells you that a Zona is allowed to bring chit and vasa and solas. How do we know that? The drasha says heim velo shinu yehem. Now, what then might we say is the makar for shinu kona? Heim velo shinu yehem. The fact that a zona is allowed to bring a shinu of an esnan, this pasuk could be used as a makar for shinu kona. Now, do you know of any other makars for shinu kona? You should. The Gemara in Samach Vav Amud Aleph. I know it's the next piece, but we did read it. Amar Rabba shinu kona tanino ksiva tanina. Which one? Veishivas aizela asher gazal im keincha gazal yaseh v'mlav damin bayi shalume. Damin biyama bayi shalume. So the question is, what then is the source? Now, one could give the teretz. What teretz are very balabatish teretz? Well, I would have said it the other way. I would say the maka pasuk by gezel shina kona. What do you do with the pasuk of hemel shina yehem? That teaches you, David. No. So if you only have one pasuk, it becomes a binyanav. So you ask the question, what do you need a second pasuk for? Why do you need to, if you already know that shinis kona, why do you need heim velo shinayim? The answer is ayah. Because of? No. Then you would just want in darshan.
No, so then you need heim to say velo shinayim.
No. But if you're base hilo, you don't darshan gam l'rabo shinayim. See, Beis Shammai works better. I would say, Adarav, the way the Gemara breaks it down, I think the Rishonim say this, Beis Shammai works much better. You'd say that the rule is Kein Shagazal, Kein Shinis Kona, but there's an exception here. There's an exception here, which is Lagabe Gavoa. Namely, by Gavoa, we say that Shin is not Kona. So if anything, Beis Shammai is the one who holds that Shin is Kona. Beis Hillel. So the answer is Beis Hillel might say you need a pasuk because you would have thought that it's Maos Lagavoa. Kamashmalan, that even la gavoa, shinui is kona. Now, of course, the problem with that is that to give that. What's the problem with that teretz? Is then why do you need the pasuk kainshu gazal? Just tell us by gavoa that shinui is kona. It's a kalvachomer to a hedyot. Just tell us gam heim velo shinui yehem, and therefore you know shinui is kona by gavoa, enough to remove the taint of Estan Zona, and it's Kavach Omer that's Kona by Hedyot. Okay, so what does Tosus say? So Tosus didn't like my teretz, that's why he didn't like it. Okay, he figured out my kash and my teretz. So Tosus says, Tema, Ben, you want to read for us? Oh, you know, Yitzi?
Thank you.
So that's kasha number one. Right? In our sugya later, not on Samach Vav, but on Samach Zayin Amad Beis, or Samach Zayin Amad Aleph, Samach Zayin Amad Aleph, Rav Chista quotes one version of Yonasan that says that Shin is not Kona. You return whatever's there, whatever's left to return. So he holds that Shin is not Kona. Gozo Kama. Okay. By the way, what is that? Gzela hamishtan is choseres be'ene. What does be'ene mean? Yeah, what was that? Where does that word come from, Ben? I think so. You have its usage like that a little bit in the Torah. Ve'eino ke'ein habedolach.
It looks like bedelium.
Whatever bedolach is, right? In other words, ve'eino ke'ein habedolach, in other words, you can see how its appearance and it could be its essence. Ke'ein is strange, right? There is a verb. There is a verb in Tanakh. Oyein. Vayhi Shaul Oyein is David. But Ve'eino, you have also Bet. Oh, Dr. Steiner reads Betach Badad Ein Yaakov. He reads that as a peyura, as an ayin yud, I think. Now it just rings a bell. But in other words, but in Eino Ke'ein HaBedolach is very much, I think, like the rabbinic usage of Be'en. In other words, when it's Be'en, it means, you know, we use this also in Belios, in Kalim. By Kalim, you say, you know, is it Be'en or is it just Belios, right? Balua means it's swallowed up, it's invisible. Be'en means you can see it, right? I believe that's how this comes from. So Gzela Hanishtanes Choseres Be'ene. The thing, as you see it, still has to be returned. So what's the kasha? Do they argue in Beis Hillel who says that Shina is Kone? So what's the nira l'ri de l'kama maybe shina chaz l'biyasa v'ahachi. So basically, what is the what is the answer to the question? Tosas already said it. What are the two questions? Number one, you have two different sources for shina kona. Number two, you have Amoraim who seem to be disagreeing with Beis Hillel because they say shina is einat kona because they say asher gazal mikol makom. So Tosas says that no. Then what's the difference? So everybody agrees that Shinoi She'eino Chozer L'Briyasa is Kone. And that's the Pasuk of Chitin, Vasa, and Solas, that everybody agrees with Beis Hillel. And the Machlokas is when you have a Shinoi HaChozeres, a Shinoi Chozer L'Briyasa, so that's a machlokas. How do you read Beishev Sagzila Shah Gazal? Do you read it midoraisa? Do you read it as mikomakom? Or do you read it as in Ke'en Shah Gazal Yasirim Lav Lo Yasir? That's the machlokas. So that's what Tosu says. V'nir Elohim, the Lakam and Mayri Bishinoi. Milsid Rabbi Yochanan. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Now, what is the case of Hagozel Kama? Anyone know? Wonder what the Mishnah says in the beginning of the ninth parak? Sean, do you remember the text of the Mishnah? Hagozel Eitzim Vasan Kalin Semer Vasan Begadim. Kol Gazlam Sham Kshasli. That's the end of the Mishnah. You know the punchline. You got to know what comes before. The punchline's nice. The briskers walk away with the punchline, but even the Gemara does here. But you got to remember the Mishnah. Hagozel Eitzim Vasan Kalin Semer Vasan Begadim. So, Mishnah Kshasli Gzela. So what is Kelim Asan? What is Tzemer Asan Begadim? Is that a Shinechos Libriyasa or not? I think right. So. If you take thread and you weave it into a garment, you can return the garment back into thread. Yeah, you can. Right?
Although
it's not the same. Whoa.
Yeah.
Firstly, when do you dye the wool? After you make the garment, before you make the garment? Why? So you remember, oh, the people who learn Shabbos with me know why. Did some of you go, David, you went here for Shabbos? You were here for Shabbos. Did we go to the demonstration? Do you remember the demonstration? We had a guy come in. You were Shalom. Yeah, and that was at 501. First 501, right? We had the guy, he was English, was he British? So, yeah, he's the author. He's the author of it, I think, of the Maase Orig, if I'm not mistaken. So he came by, he was up on the table and showing us how wool was spun, okay? So why is it that you dye, he explains in the book, why is it that you dye wool when it's wool rather than when you make it into a garment? You dye the thread. You may even dye the wool, I'm not sure. What's that? Correct, because you have to realize, I mean, you don't realize, but when you, especially the way we handle things, when you wash clothing, you put a washer dryer, you know what the lint, you know, some of you do your own laundry, most of you, I assume, at some point do your own laundry. You know what the lint is? You know what lint is from? It's your clothing coming apart. That's what lint is. It's not dust. It's your clothing coming apart. That's why if you notice the color of lint. Right, if you throw in, I know I throw my light green towel, and you know, and what comes out is light green lint because it's slowly coming apart. Wash it enough times, will fall apart completely. So, and when you rub on your baguette, if you dyed the baguette as it would be, as soon as you'd rub off a little bit, it would start to show its, you know, would lose its color, because it would expose other parts of the thread if you didn't rub on it, right? But instead, what you do is you dye it when it's still wool. And therefore, the dye gets through the entire thing. So even if the thread is turned a little bit or anything else, it's still basically wool that's dyed through and through.
But I still think that it's sort of like when you...
In fact, isn't there an expression that dyed in the wool something? As opposed to dyed as a baguette?
Right. In terms of dyeing, fine, so it's the same, but there's still wear and tear when you...
It's true. But
it's not going to be the same quality of thread.
Yeah, but you can re-spin it in the thread, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now you're coming back to my question. What do you mean? Assuming, why won't it be? No, but that's not a function. If you made it into a baguette and did nothing, you don't wear it. You just can undo it. But that's always it. Semer Asan Begadim. Right. So now, what about Eitzim Asan Kalin? The Gemara assumes that nail holes are Shinuch or Zlebriyasa. You're not worried about nail holes. If I have pieces of wood, and I nail them together to make a chest. That's a shinuch or Zlebriyasa. I mean, they don't ask the kashya about the nail holes. I don't know why. But
you're stealing specific types of wood that you can put in.
Yeah.
Or are you, like, cutting it off? And...
Well, you know, they don't talk about cutting it lengths, which is interesting. Question whether that's called the shinoy or not. I know it's not chos Zlebriyasa. The question is called the shinoy. It's like cutting down a dekel. The Gemara says it's not a shinoy. And it's not chos Zlebriyasa, but it's not a shinoy either.
It's still
the same shame. I don't understand that, Tzuya. That sounds like Tzadi Heir, Tzadi Vel Menal. You'll see that, Gemara. So I don't know what to do with that. So they seem to assume if you cut it just length, it's not an issue. What they would assume would be a shinu is if you took sort of raw wood and then you shafan, which I mean you sanded it down and you maybe made ridges or something like that. And then, but maybe even if you cut it in length. So let's assume if a guy, and it goes alayt of asam kelim, means you steal a bunch of boards and you nail it together to make a shack or to make a chest or something like that. You don't have to do any cutting. So just the nail holes themselves are considered chos Zlebriyasa. So that's what the Mishnah says. Now, the alternative way of reading the Mishnah, and that's in some ways it's a simple reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah could just be, in theory, talking about shinei chos Zlebriyasa. And what does the Mishnah say about shinei chos Zlebriyasa there? Mishalim kishasa gzela, right? Yukona. Now, one, if you really felt forced, you could read the Mishnah saying otherwise. You could read the Mishnah, Gozel Eitzim Asan Kelim, Gozel Eitzim B'Shafan. He sort of cuts them down and turns them into, you know, wood and then builds them into a chair. And Semer V'Asan Begadim is when he dyed it. And dyeing it is a shinui, because it's a change and it's not Chos Zlebriyasa. In which case, what would the Mishnah tell you about Shinu HaChos Zlebriyasa? It would tell you nothing. It wouldn't tell you, but only tell you about a shinish eno chos, which is a much lesser chiddush. So now you have to realize that to understand Tosas. So Tosas says that that's why they quote Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan say there? Again, what does Tosas say? Rabbi Yochanan, he quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying there that Minat Torah Shina is not Kona. What kind of Shina is not Kona? Chozer Labriyasa. That's why Rabbi Yochanan said in reference to that Mishnah, because that Mishnah can be read as a Shina Chozer Labriyasa. Virabba. The rabba, go ahead, Yitziv rabba, the besamuch savar. So rabba later, named on samuch vavam and aleph, when he says that shini kover, kona, ksiva, tanina, is talking about even a shini hechos lebriyaso, and that's why he needs a pasuk. Utsrichi trei krai. What's Tosis's kasha, by the way? Utsrichi trei krai is an answer to a question. What's his question? One, I told you, you need one for Shina Kona, one for Shina Shena Kona. Shina Chose, one for Shina Chose.
Why can't you just have Shina?
Just have the Pasuk for Shina HaChose Libriyasa when it's Kavach Homer. So Tosas answers, the Trichi Trei Krai, the Ilav Ela. Okay, you have to realize, there is more to it than just meets the eye. This is the kasha the Gemara always asks, like in Kiddushim, remember with Bogeris and Nara. Right, what do you need the pasuk by Bogeris? Yatzachinam elu yimei narus ein kasa ein bagrus yimei ein kasa elu yimei narus. What do you need the pasuk by bagrus? Just tell us the pasuk by narus. If a nara goes out from shifchus, so then kavachom Bogeris. So the answer is because you only had one, you'd only darshan because you use the principle of tafasta meruba lo tafasta more tafasta. If you have a pasuk that doesn't, it's not clear. In other words, Zon estan zona lo shinu yehem and ke'en shagazal. There's nothing inherent in either pasuk per se that one is shinoi hachozel and one is shinoi shenachos. No, they're both pasukim. We'll be darshan something about shinoi. But if we only had one pasuk, we would darshan the dafka by a shinoi shenachozel briyaso that it's kona, and we would assume that shenachozel briyaso is not kona because tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Right. You've all heard the principle, right? Tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta lo tafasta.
Yes, that's the comment about us learning this sugya.
2 points.
Tafasta meruba, no tafasta.
If you had to explain, I understood it. You didn't have to explain it. Okay. One of my colleagues has raised that question, but he didn't use as good a pun as that.
He was miyai.
Okay, so thank you, because probably not the one who hasn't heard it. Is there anybody else who's willing to confess now that they really have never seen that? Okay. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta means literally if you try to grab too much, you don't wind up with nothing. It means that if I tell you that, another way of saying, if I tell you that I am stronger than Chaim, and Chaim can lift 50 pounds, then how much can I lift? At least 50 pounds. That's called being tofes the muat. To say that I can lift 55, it might be true, but it might be completely wrong. You know, the Gemara says, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. You can't, on the basis of, let's say, one pasuk, if you have two dinim to learn, you can only learn the lesser chiddush. You can't necessarily learn the bigger chiddush. Tafasta meruba, if you try to grab something too big, lo tafasta. You try to bite off too big of a bite, you may wind up with nothing. Tafasta muat, tafasta. Okay, the Gemara, I forget where, I think the Gemara might be Megillah, I forget where the Gemara uses the term. But the term is something like tafasta meruba lo tafasta. So when you have two dinim to learn, shinei hachozel briyaso, shinei shanuchozel briyaso, and you only have one pasuk, by definition you learn the more minimal din. Unless the pasukim were explicit about shinei hachozel, then you only need one pasuk, namely shinei hachozel briyaso.
Is it possible for the case of Esnan to be a shinei
chozer? It is. It is. Oh, shinei is chozer? Yeah. Yeah, you mean you want to have a case? Yeah, sure. You gave the zona, water, and I'm sorry, I'm using the Shachamayim example, and she turns it into ice. Okay, you wouldn't use the ice anything. Whatever. But you could have a situation, and then maybe she turns the ice back into water. So now it's back as water, but it's undergone tushanim. But the answer is, harai, it's chosel lebriyasa. Now, I could come up with probably a couple other cases like that.
And it's even the same water.
What's that?
It's even the same water. When you freeze water into ice and then you melt it back into water, there's no kanim
chadashos. Ask the chemists here. But for halachic purposes, yeah. For halachic purposes, it's the same water, yes. Okay. Fine. Now, v'had ha'maisi raya rabba.
You always brought in my kisim that goes away, Sam. Mishum d'mari b'chino yichodil l'biyah, so...
As the Gemara there explains at the beginning of the Perek, the simple read of the Mishnah there is Shina Chazav Yosa. That's why Rabba brings a raya from the Mishnah. Ksiva Tanina. Tanina is that Mishnah. Okay? And the Gemara there, how does the Gemara explain it? Gozel Eitzim is Be'eitzim. Vitzemer. Tzemer Tavoy. Tzemer Tavoy means you. What is Tzemer Tavoy? No, well, it's not dyed. It's assumed to be dyed as well. Spun wool. Spun wool. And by the same logic, you dye the wool, I believe, when it's raw before you even spin it, for the exact same reason. Because remember how threads are made up. A thread that you take off a spool is usually many, 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 many threads that are tied together by friction. It's really, I'm always amazed how things stay together. Why didn't your clothing, you know, the threads. Yeah, to me it's absolutely amazing. You know, he describes how the threads fit into each other. It's really absolutely amazing. And how man figured this out, I don't know. You understand why you need, you know, Huavi, Yoshevo, Mekneah, and so on and so forth. You know, because how did anybody figure this out? I'm always amazed.
They don't tie everything before. When they do Tchelas, they do it afterwards.
But that's when they do Tchelas. Mm-hmm. In a normal process of making wool.
What's that?
That's how you're going to have a string.
No, I think that they dye it first and they weave the white into the blue. I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's an interesting question.
He's saying they dip the string in the tail.
You see, it's in the middle, the part that's where it comes together is kind of white or blue, see? Yeah, but still, Shem, right? Part of it. No, there's
I don't know. I don't know. I bet Shalom's probably right.
Oh, yeah, right. This is great.
This is made out of tree bark.
You know the stringy part in it?
That's the knot. Okay. Sorry. I think this is the case in the Mishnah, Shalom. You missed it when I tore it. This is the case in the Mishnah. You know, Shabers, you know, Kadi, Kareas, Kasusti, Almanas, Liftar, my Potter, I don't know. You never said Almanas, Liftar. Okay, but he asked me to tear it. So anyway, the effects are absolutely amazing how they do it. So anyway, so Rabba says, Tzemer Tavoy Vahi. Now, and then he deals with one other case there. Okay. Fine. You don't have to read any further in this Tosus. So that's the Chiddush that Tosus has here. And I haven't seen any other Mishonim yet. I don't know where they would comment. Do not comment about this issue. We'll talk about it more, I suppose, on Samach Vav Amud Beis. Shinei Hashem. Doesn't they talk about a Chozel B'riyasa there? I don't remember. Anyway, it is. It's on top of Sam Simon Alp. We'll see if there's more spoken about that. But that's what Tosha says here. That there are two kinds of Shiniyim, and that's why you need to psukim. And the Machlokas Amoraim, who disagree with Rabbah, is only on Shinei Chozel B'riyasa. Nobody disagrees on Shinei Chozel B'riyasa. Okay. One more Tosha very quickly. It is a very far-fetched Tosha. I'll read this one. Heim v'lo v'lado sehem. Or v'aldo sehem. The Gemara said that based Shammai Darshan's Haim, the Mir of Haim, it's not of Haim, what is it? The Mir of Shnei Haim.
Oh, yeah,
funny drasha.
I was wondering about the Dibur Maskev of Tosfos, because it says Haim Velo Shinu.
That's the Gemara, not Tosfos.
No,
Haim Velo Vlado Sehem, Vlado Sehem. That's what the Gemara
says. In the Dibur Maskev of Tosfos, it says Haim Velo Shinu Yehem. In the previous one.
Right.
And I was Hain wondering how the Hain could possibly be a victim of nunification if it's a quote from a pasuk.
Oh, yeah, but it happens anyway in printed texts. Okay. By the way, what does the word Hain mean in Biblical Hebrew?
In Biblical Hebrew quiet, or Aramaic?
Quiet. What does Hain mean?
Hain like...
Hey nun with a tzere. What is Hain? What?
Like,
I'm sorry? Don't say they, feminine. Hain it.
Okay.
Yes. What? No, Nadav said it correctly. Oh. Hain is Hine. Yeah, how do you say they feminine in Biblical Hebrew? Haina. And you say it by Bilam. Hain, Haina, Hayu, Bidvar, Yisra, Bidvar, Bilam. Hain, I know in modern Hebrew they teach you Haim and Hain, but in Biblical Hebrew it's Haina. Hain means behold, Hine. It's short for Hine. What's that? Hain, Hadam, Hayak, Hanmer. Yeah, I'm sorry?
Hine Israel?
Okay, fine.
But it anyway, also means yes if it's quoting Aramaic.
It's Aramaic, yes. Vayomer, well, yes, and Vayomer. Oh, that's cute. Vayomer lavan hein. Okay, whatever. No, it probably means indeed.
Okay, but that, it's the same as saying
I
yes.
I guess. My come from,
it's
okay.
The same as yes.
No, but it might be the same as hine. I'm just thinking. I don't want to talk about that. Hein v'lo valdosei. Mash mahacha. D'tvei mistaber lesachita v'ason solas yosemi valdoseihim. Beishamai is memayit and is marbe. Beishamai includes as something that goes along with Esnan, the Shinoi, but he excludes the Vlad, which suggests that the Vlad is further is more distant from the Guf than a Shinoi of the object itself. It's not an impossible svar, but Tosus is bothered with Tema the Perikolat Slomim. Mashma Ipcha Gaba Yeshinil Nevar Olo. The boy in the Maimar, the Gemara wants to say that the Mishtachav Elachitan, if you bow down to wheat, Kimchan Mutar Lamanachos, you can use the flour of that wheat for a Karba Mincha. The Afal Gav Damrinam Beibro, the Besof Nirbo, that when you have a pregnant animal and it is Nirba by a person, Divrei Kol Asurim, the Vlad is Asur. So you see in a case, by, it's not the identical case, but you see you have Muksa and Neva, you have Nevad and Nirba, which are often lumped together, you know, Muksa and Nevad and Rovea and Nirba. So you see that the Vlad is an issue, whereas the Shinoi is not a problem. So it's the exact reverse. The Hasa, the Gemara says, the Hasa meikara behema v'hashta behema, ubava or dasha hu dachida ba'apa. What does dasha hu dachida ba'apa mean? What is a bava? An entrance or a gate. A dasha is a door. Dasha, the Gemara Ksubis gives a folk etymology. Dasha is derech sham. Okay, that's a folk etymology. It's not a real etymology. And so dasha hu dachida ba'apa means. Give you a hint, the Dalet here is the Hebrew Zion. A door is being held in its face. Ne'echaz. Right? Achida ba'apa. So that's what the Gemara says. That's why, basically, the behemoth's there. It's a behemoth. It's a little behemoth inside a big behemoth. It's just a door that's keeping it from getting out. Okay? So, hacha meikar chitim hashta kemach. But here, originally, it was chitim. Now it's called kemach. There was an answer. You could have said that the fact that we're matir by Esnan, Vlad, Haim, and Velovaal Dosehem, is only when he gives it to Har before it's pregnant. There's irony in that. Whereas if he gave her a pregnant animal, then the Vlad would be asur. Tosa says it's wrong because the Gemara is medami. The dumi the Vlad on Arba Shirin and Vlad Esnan. That's what the Gemara implies there. V'yesh lom. So what do you do with the fact that the Gemara seems to reverse priorities as to which is more the goof of the thing, the Shinoi or the Vlad? So Tosa says v'yesh lomar the Hasam vada yesh lahati yosar chitim shenishdana shenasa soles mi Vlad nirbas the hi Vlad and nirbu ubava ve'alma or dasha ve'alma dachida ba'apa. There, it's mistaber to aser the Vlad, because really the Vlad was nearby as well. Avagabe Esnan, now, Tosus doesn't sort of explain why, because Avagabe Esnan, ikerdata mishum kemach, vagabe behem, ikerdata apar of lo Vlad. So Tosus, what does Tosus say? In essence, I think Tosus says the following. And Shlomo, this actually would highlight my point that I made to you earlier, the difference between Esnan and the others in terms of something is begufa davar, certainly Rovea, nearby is begufa davar versus something which is not. Tosef says that when it comes to Esnan, is not begufa davar. Esnan is a question of what did you give the Zona. Now, when you give the Zona an animal versus you give her the chitim, is her das on the animal more on the vlad or more on the animal versus when you give her the chitim is on the chitim or is on the solas? The answer to the chitim, most people don't eat chitim raw. They make a shakal if your kose is chitim. But most people don't eat it raw. So when you give her solas, chitim, she's thinking about the solas. So that's really what the eslan is. When you give her behemah, she's not thinking about the vlad. She's thinking about the behemah. But when it comes to nirba, so there, the guf ma'isa was done, and not nevad actually, only ravan nirba. When it comes to ravan nirba, the ma'isa was done to the guf of the animal, and the behema was part of the guf of the animal. And therefore, the only reason why you don't see it is because it's stuck behind the door, but it's really part of the mother animal, and that's why the behema is neseris. But the nevad itself, when it comes to chitin apparently, when it comes to chitin, so the nevad wasn't, he doesn't really say, but he doesn't explain it. Tosar Rabbeinu Peretz says something. I'm not going to talk about it now. But you have to say, at least based on what Tosar says, the Nevad basically it's not a ma'aseh b'gufadavar, and the person is worshiping. You have to say he's worshiping the beautiful chitim. He's not worshiping the flower, right? You know, you look at the chitim and you see God's handiwork. You look at the flower and you see dust, something like that. Okay, fine. So we'll stop with this Tosfos. One could do a little more on this. I don't want to actually belabor it. Next, tomorrow, we're going to do Tlaim, and then we're going to be done with this, and then you'll start Chazara. So Shir may finish a little bit early, and if you finish preparing Tlaim already, and you can start Chazaring already. Okay, so I think the way things look then, Thursday will be Bikias, and then the Bechina will be Tuesday during Shir, and you'll have Sunday, Monday to Chazar. But you're expected all to be here. I will be here on Sunday, Monday. You will be here on Sunday and Monday. Okay, good.
I told you that I didn't find it yet. I told you that you said it earlier.
What's that? I'm in. Yeah. How do you want to say that?
You would have thought, like, Beit Shammai.